Blog Talk Radio.
Guess what? Another exciting show here in Taino Radio. Radio Taino. Taka, Puka, Ita. How are you, everyone? This is Sanakori, and tonight I have a special guest hostess, like always on Friday night, 10 p.m. We have 4-1. Are you
Yay.
There? All right, 4-1. This is it. Another power hour, Indigenous activism. What do you think about that?
I think let's do it. Let's do it, Turtle Island. Let's lead the way to healing.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Hey, you know that song you like really, really well? Really great. You like that song, remember?
Yes, yes.
By Northern Cree. Well, guess what
Northern
happened?
Cree.
I'll be totally honest with you. My studios, I don't know what happened, but I think the paranormal show got caught in here because my studio circuitry is down. It's totally down. But when I get it up and running, my DJ equipment here, I am going to start that song. But take it away.
Take it away. All right, Turtle Island and all my relatives. Thank you. Thank you so much for lending your attention. MMIR is, you know, it's something we've got to tackle. It's something we've got to wipe out. And it begins with us. So, you know, last week we talked about the loss of Indigenous Taino sister, Andrea Reyes.
That's right.
And my heart still goes out to the ones that she left behind. And I don't know how many, you know, caught the show, but Andrea left behind a little girl. And that little girl has no family other than her mama and her grandfather. And prior to Andrea's death, her father was taken by COVID. Her grandfather, the little girl's grandfather, Andrea's father. And so now we have a little girl who has no one.
That's right.
The other thing, you know, and, you know, the focus, you know, besides our lost sister, was to talk about some hard things, but we have to talk about it, you know, and that's where I want to take tonight's show, talk about those things we're not talking about, you know. I did some, as much research as, you know, I could on MMIR. We're going to refer to it as relatives. We're going to be all inclusive on this, so.
That's right. I've been following your lead on that one.
And, you know, because we have to be inclusive. You know what I mean? This is a threat against our life, You know, this is, you know, it's something we right. need to handle. We need to get a grip on it. And, you know, one of the issues that was, you know, brought forward was about the reporting, you know, by mainstream media, the lack of attention given, you know, to our fight, you know, because honestly, people are going missing and murdered in all groups, you know, trying to stay away from those labels, you know, because I don't fit in nobody's box. So, you know, in all groups of color, we'll just leave it at that, you know. So it's an everybody problem. It's not mine. It's not theirs. It's all of our problem, you know. And, you know, some of those things that we don't want to talk about are, first of all, what is MMIR? That is, you're murdered, you're missing, Indigenous relatives. And, all right, what is that? What does that mean? And why? Right?
Exactly.
So we've got predators, correct? We've got unidentified predators. Are those, they're often males and non-Indigenous. That's the first definition of predator. Second definition of predator is the predator within our community. You know, those cousins, uncles, sisters, whatever.
Right.
That we tell the kids to stay away from, you know, or we look past it, or we label, we give it all names, but what it truly is, you know. So that's the second definition of predator. And then, okay, then what else is there? Well, we can point to, you know, any, whenever there are precious metals or precious resources, you know,
right.
related to the area. Say we were, you know, going to focus on MMIR in certain areas, you know, we could relate it to natural resources, you know, and the excavation of those. So we could say man camp, we could say pipeline, we can say the extraction of many resources, you know. And then we have identified a predator who is going after our advocates for MMIR. And, you know, one thing for sure, evil works in groups. So I don't believe that there's just one predator. But the one that has been identified, and this is why I know that, you know, this Indigenous Power Hour needs to take place. But it's also feedback to let me know that people are listening. Because, you know, two shows ago, Santa Cruz, you know, right after I got
right.
off the air, you know, I received that email.
Wow.
And it was a TikTok of an identified predator showing up at MMIR or W events and going after either the advocates or audience. You know, our relatives.
Wow.
And he is dressing up in AIM gear, claiming to be part of security,
What?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
infiltrating.
Yes, absolutely. You know, get next to us. And see, I don't advocate us walking, you know, women, indigenous women, marching in the Women's March ever. And where I live in Nebraska, I don't advocate for it. Instead, I actually provide a safe place for all indigenous women to come and celebrate rather than joining in that death march, because this is how I look at it. I'm not marching elbow to elbow with the granddaughters.
Right.
You know? Two, I don't have the same rights of anyone marching in that march. I don't have the same rights, you know? So I'm not marching because I don't have the same. My life don't matter, you know? But third, I don't encourage it because I believe it makes us a target for predators.
Interesting. Right.
Because if I'm marching elbow to elbow with the granddaughters of, you know, their descendants who thought they killed us, you know, wouldn't they be present in that audience as they watch their own? So no, I'm totally against any representation, any indigenous representation, whether it be male or female, in any women or men's march. In the, you know, as long as we are still identified as United States of America until it is restored and this, you know, we get the land back and this and Turtle Island is restored. Nah,
that's right, the island. That's right, to get the land back.
And so, you know, I went and I searched a few sources. What is difficult is, don't answer that, please. Sorry. is, you know, multitasking here, is we don't have a collection of that data as far as who are missing, you know, the numbers, you know, the male, the female. We don't have a, you know, any consistency in the reporting, whether it's from law enforcement or tribal law enforcement or tribal records. Okay.
Interesting.
So the resources that I went to were the Department of Justice.
Okay.
For violence against indigenous, you know, and also Canada. I went, so then I also went to sovereign bodies and looked for those resources, you know, Anita over there at Sovereign Bodies and the other women working with her, you know, big shout out to them. Anita came up with a mapping system to help, help get that collection together and, you know, actually mapped it out, you know, as well as, you know, each advocate's, you know, within the state, you know, and let me remind everyone that, you know, there is no law. The Women Against, the Violence Against Women's Act, which was one of our, I guess, laws, expired and is currently sitting on Biden's desk to be reactivated. And then there is a bill now that we're trying to get support signed and all that, and that's just violence against indigenous, you know?
Right.
So with the information that I was able to collect,
you know, just off of, you know, the census, you know, for both Canada and the United States. Mm-hmm. So according to the Census Bureau, the indigenous population is 6.7 million. That's, you know, all just for, you know, the United States. And of that 6.79 million, they say that about 2.9% is recognized as the indigenous population.
Mm.
Now, it states that there are 574 federally recognized Native American tribes.
That's right.
In the, right, in 15 states. It only says 15, which I find that very hard to believe, considering there's 50, and I know indigenous in all 50. Federally
what?
Recognized. You know, you don't know an indigenous person in every state in the United States?
Myself? You mean like personally?
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, you don't believe that, you know, they live in all 50 states?
Oh, yeah. I do believe. Oh, I thought you asked me if I knew people in each state.
No, I'm just saying. But according to the census, it says that there are 574 federally recognized Native American tribes in the U.S. 15 states. And have, in those 15 states, the population is over 100,000 in each of those 15 states. Okay. So that's putting us at, right. And, you know, which goes on to my next point about, you know, the issue that was brought up about mainstream media or, you know, whatever, reporting our missing and murdered.
Right,
if they
exactly.
can't even get our population numbers correct, how are they going to get our missing and murdered numbers correct?
Exactly.
So isn't that how we pretty much ended up invisible in the first place, is letting someone else tell our story, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. This is...
We need to reclaim. So, you know, being as active as I am in trying to end this, you know, I'm pretty familiar with our media, okay,
mm-hmm.
our publications, our radio shows, our podcasts, our movement, you know.
That's right.
And unfortunately, even in our own media, we don't have, you know, like, let's say, Indian People Today. Say that's a publication.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even a section consistently dedicated on a daily basis. You get what I'm saying? In our own publication.
It's not an urgent thing to talk about or write about.
Right. So, you know, which moves on to my next point about, you know, we have to be the ones reporting
any
news, whether it's good, bad, whatever. We need to be the source that tells our story, not anybody else.
Definitely.
But us. And we then need to be able to look at our media as well.
Word.
For, you know, truthfully reporting or effortlessly reporting and telling our story.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
can I please be as encouraging as possible to our own to create this. This is what we need to thrive. This is, you know, we need our own resources. You know, we can't, how are we going to decolonize when we don't have, when we're not even creating the resources? It isn't like we don't have resources.
Right.
We have many per capita tribes. We got, in, you know, indigenous with some bread out there. You know?
Exactly.
But we need that investment in our own, you know, resources. We need media. We need doctors. We need filmmakers. We need all of that. And so, you know, may I encourage that? We need basically to go back to the medicine. But my next point about that is, you know, about this reporting and whatever, is the fear tactic used. Okay? They have made us, so the numbers that I have gathered,
okay,
just in the United States from all of the tribes. So according to U.S. Census, what do they say? We're about how much? What was the population? According to theirs, 15 times 100,000, right?
So, right.
The numbers that we have compiled in, you know, these last couple of years, saying last couple of years, because that's when, you know, MMI, the charge really took off. And, you know, that began in 2018.
Right.
So you know, the gathering of information has been, you know, pretty targeted, you know, pretty
right.
focused. And so the number that has come back is just about 6,000 to that population.
Okay.
What? So, yeah. So do you understand how that too, by letting them report, the scare tactic that they have created, you know?
Exactly.
And so I'm not saying we don't have an issue, because by all means, we do. We do.
Damn.
We have a real issue. We have a real threat to life, because those are the dangers that I teach, or had to teach, my daughter and my granddaughter and my
Word. Were
about being indigenous, you know, the loss of my sister. It was because of her beautiful skin, you know.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
What I want us to understand about it.
I get it, man. I get it.
You get what I'm saying? So
it
creates this fear and this way of living, you know. And I'm not saying there is not a threat, because there is a threat.
Yo, so these are monsters.
Exactly. And so there's a young man that, and big shout out, you know, up there to Canada. There's a tribe up there that is doing patrols in their territory regularly. And the young man is young. And I hope to, you know, inspire as many of our men, our boys, you know, but
right.
this young man that is going out, you know, there's only a few of them, but they are doing it. They're doing it. And my question is, indigenous,
right,
in the U.S., why aren't we patrolling?
Exactly. Exactly.
There's a lot of time on those federal lands, correct? There's not a lot of lot to do. But why aren't we forming them? Why aren't we going out every night? Why aren't we our first line of defense? We got to protect us. You got to, you know, our men, you got to protect us. And us, we, you know, indigenous, we got to protect them too. I mean, it's a whole village effort, a whole tribal effort.
Exactly.
You know, and do we not teach our children self-defense?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the facts of life, you know. Don't you have those little, didn't you have those talks with your daughter?
I did. I even showed her how to carry you know, a nail file? You know a nail file?
Yep.
That, those metal nail files that has a handle on it?
Yeah.
I taught her how to, you know, it's illegal. You know, everyone can carry a nail file. It has a little point, has a little handle. But guess what? If a predator knocks you down to the ground, you know, you take that, it's a good stab to the neck, you know, or an eyeball, as I taught her.
Absolutely.
And that will save your life. That can save your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm not talking about hurting people with, you know, just to hurting people. I'm talking about if your life is on the line, someone throws you to the ground, no one's around, or they try to drag you into a car or a van. Good stab to the eyeball, you know.
Why not?
So
why
yeah,
not?
She carries that, you know. I taught her when she was young, when she first came adolescent, you know. If someone grabs you from behind, an average head weighs 18 pounds. So what you're going to do is you're going to drive your head to the person's face, and I'll break their nose just enough to get out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Gouge their eyeballs out. Use your fingernails.
That's right.
You know what I mean? What if they catch you coming out of the movie theater or try to catch you and you got your soft drink in your hand, throw that sucker in their face. You know?
Yeah.
You
want to startle them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the great Bruce Lee, right? The great Bruce Lee, when he teaches Kung Fu and his writings, he talks about the eye gouge. That's the first weapon he uses. You know, he uses his fingers. He puts his index finger over his middle finger, right? Wham!
Yeah.
Jab in the eye. That's your first shot.
Absolutely. You want to disable them as far as their vision.
Yeah.
If they can't see. You know what I mean? They can try to hold on. They can try to hold on, but you know what it's like the minute your vision gets distorted in any way.
Yeah.
That panic and that anxiety sets in, and you're just trying to, you know, clear and make your vision. So absolutely.
Use what they got. And you know what, Forewarn, I'm a martial artist, 11 years, Tai Chi Chuan, which is, it is a martial arts, the elite form of all forms. And one thing I was taught, the bigger the person is, right, the better. So if any woman is worried about any man hovering over her or whatever, or any child, whatever, one good shot to the knees, to the side of the knee, as hard as you can, that person's going to be on the floor. And guess what? You're going to be taller.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the harder they fall.
Once you get them on the floor, guess what? Guess who's taller now?
Exactly. You know, and they don't, you know, it's like you said, size does not matter.
Yeah, man.
You know?
You just got to have that desire. That desire to live.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what we're talking
like
about, right?
Desire. Right. And that's what we're doing is we're talking about those things because, you know, I didn't learn the meaning of thrive. You know, I knew it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But when my daughter was born, unfortunately, my daughter is adopted, and she was born addicted to crack. And
oh, sorry to hear that.
We got to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so at her first appointment, her first
right.
her 1 week checkup after getting out of the hospital and everything, her physician had said to me, oh, she's thrived. And I said,
yeah.
Well, yeah, she is. I mean, you know, I didn't take it, you know, as a compliment. I was just like, well, what do you mean? And she says, well, you come into this world knowing nothing with no desire. You have
right.
to be taught to live. You have to be taught to thrive.
That's right.
So we all have it in us to thrive. And may that take over should you ever be in that situation. You know, should you find yourself in that situation, male or female, may that instinct to thrive kick in, because our men and boys are going missing too. So
nope.
those numbers for Canada. So according to the census for Canada, it says that of the 1,673,785 people who are of the Canadian population, that the Indigenous population there is 977,230. Okay. And then it breaks it off into the, and forgive me if I don't say this right, but the Metis, M-E-T-I-S population
okay.
is 587,545. And then 65,025 are the Inuit. The Inuit. So in total, it is about a 7-8% of the Canadian population is Indigenous. So again, with the United States' numbers that we have come up with in this focus since 2018, and the United States, we have about a compiled number. I would say the current active cases anywhere between 6,000 and 7,000 between there that are current. And the numbers, you know, for past unsolved, still missing. 28 years, 30, whatever, I would say is probably another 5,000, if not more.
Okay.
And you get what I'm saying? So I would say roughly a little under 15,000 if we are going off of numbers that are reported. That's just what's been reported. You know what I mean? We don't have the true numbers. We don't have the true numbers of any population. Let's just keep it real. You know?
Yeah. Well, can I add something to those statistics?
Absolutely.
You know, as you're reading these percentages, you know, North America, Native, Indigenous, you know, 61% of people carry the Indigenous DNA in Borinquen, Puerto Rico, which is considered a territory of the United States, and its people have citizenship, you know, granted to them at birth, so they consider Americans,
right.
but check it out, I found found an online paper called El Americano, which is based, I believe, in Florida, Floridicua. This is dated September 25th, 2020. It was written by an article, Mivette Vega. And check out the title. Check out the title. Women are disappearing in Puerto Rico. Activists are calling for a state of emergency. The recent kidnapping of a 20-year-old woman on the island adds to the list of 21 missing women since the beginning of the year. So they're calling, and she was kidnapped in the residence in the municipality of Toa Baja. And check this out. 23 women have been murdered from January to May 2020. Look at that. And then they asked the governor, Wanda Vasquez, at the time, to call for the state of emergency. I did not hear of this.
What is the population of Puerto Rico?
It's close to 4 million. Close to 4 million. And these towns, you know, it's separated into, you know, different municipalities. Some towns are, of course, are more bigger than others. You know, a lot of it, most of it is rural. There's also a lot of coastal land by the beaches. And it's funny because I'm looking right now. Toa Baja, I used to live not too far from there, and it's like 30 minutes to the beach. And that's mostly a lot of, what do you call it? Toa Baja, that's where there's a Walmart around there. But surrounding all that, it's mostly, you know, green, you know, nature. There's farming there, you know. So this is just 20-year-old, you know. So
right.
Sutton, and this is 2020.
Right.
And I did not hear of state of emergency being called.
And you would know.
Yeah,
you
I would
know
definitely. This is not being
so,
now. You know
again,
what? You're up.
Do you see the tactics?
Yep.
Now, to being applied, that fear that is being put on us.
Yeah.
And that fear alone is a threat. You know, to walk around every day thinking you're going to be murdered or you're going to come up missing.
Yeah.
We have to reclaim. We got to reclaim our power, because by no means at all am I saying that we are not under threat, because we are. We've been under threat since 1492. But it's those fear tactics that are also applied in this epidemic of our murdered and missing relatives.
That's
and
it.
That, you get what I'm saying? And so I just want everyone listening, you know, to know their worth and add that tax to it. Reclaim. And in that reclaim, it's okay to heal. We got men that need to do their job. We got women who need to do their job. You know, our youth, those figures have to be present in order for them to mature and become men and women themselves. We need to get sober.
Yep.
We need to create our resources, you know. Why we can't have economies? We got some bread. Look at the Winnebago tribe. I thought they only owned a third of the native banking system. They actually own half of the banking system.
Wow. It's a casino, right? Casinos, right? That's how they make their money.
Right, but they also have the well-known publication of Indians.com.
They have several resources. Really?
Absolutely. Indians.com is by that tribe.
Okay.
So we've got resources. We are more than casinos, people.
Yeah, definitely.
We're more than, you know, the stereotypes that have been, you know, present from day one. We taught the world how to have society, how to have community, how to live.
Mm-hmm.
We fed them. We taught them. So it isn't like, you know, we don't know. You know?
That's
time
right.
To remember. Remember to remember who we are.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Indigenous peoples that live, you know, on a, you know, 500 plus reservations, nations, you know, indigenous nations. For you, what do you think is the most single threat on the res or on, you know, or nearby the res? What's the single threat for indigenous women and relatives?
And relatives? Well, in my area of the world,
uh-huh.
In the Midwest, so I'm talking North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Right.
Wisconsin, Colorado, Texas. The cartel has taken over. I can tell you that.
Jeez, they got the drug wars going on.
And so that lateral violence is enemy number one.
Violence upon the people.
By our own people.
Our own people. Oh, gee. Yep, there you go.
I believe some of us have truly lost our way. I believe some of us have an identity crisis.
Mm.
Because my visit to Pine Ridge with the birth of my youngest son, I was in utter shock. I was in utter shock to see Mexican gang graffiti all over the buildings. I was in shock to see my sisters not looking like any sisters I recall.
And where was this? In your home tribe?
Pine Ridge.
Ah, jeez. Sure.
So, I think besides the barren lands and so like Pine Ridge and Rosebud. I'm from Rosebud. I come from the Sichonggu Nation. And those are both bordered, their lands are both in South Dakota and Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Rosebud and Pine Ridge, you know, they're pretty much next to each other, but there's nothing out there in that area. So Valentine, Nebraska, taking the back road, well, the only way there, you know, so I don't even want to say back roads. It's just like, you know, it's like one of the only routes there is highway, is not interstate. And so it's 100 miles from Valentine to Pine Ridge to get gas.
Wow.
So all there is for to go to the grocery store in Pine Ridge, all they have is Sioux Nation. And Sioux Nation is always running out of, you know, stuff on the shelf. And Rosebud, you know what I mean? I mean, so those, Rosebud is also part of Cherry County, which is the largest county in Nebraska. So it's still very, you know, any of the reservations, you know, whether it be North Dakota or, you know, it's just, it's a lot of land. And we don't have a lot of, you know, we can't even get a gallon of milk regularly.
Oh,
so I understand that. I understand that. But what I don't understand is how, and we just created a internet system.
Mm-hmm.
Our own internet provider. Okay. So, yeah, we have to evolve. We have to evolve to keep up with the enemy. Not only is the enemy, but the world around us. You
mm-hmm.
know, because we're not too computer savvy, internet savvy. You know what I mean? And so, yeah,
definitely.
We do got to make these changes. You know, we can now get in groceries delivered by Amazon. You know,
that's right.
We don't have to try to see who's going to make that run that's 50 miles away should Sioux Nation close. You know?
Use the technology.
Exactly. Exactly. We gotta roll with the times. You know what I mean? And all while still trying to keep our culture and our traditional ways, you know, intact, you know?
Well, that's the hard part.
It is because we haven't even had that recovery yet, you know? With, you know, the last, you know, threat against us. That's a less than a 50-year history just on that note.
Okay.
You know, and what I'm saying is, you know, the job location, you know, the training, you know, that they did. So I'm talking boarding schools on to ICWA, on to the Relocation Act, you know, the Indian relocation. You know,
right.
we haven't even begun the recovery process from that.
Oh, man. Didn't Russell Means used to refer to as prison of war camps? That was the reservations,
absolutely.
Prisoner of war camps. Because
the Bureau of Indian Affairs is the prisoner of war division. So
which one?
The BIA.
Oh, okay.
The BIA is a subdivision of the prisoner of war division. So I never understand the encouragement to enroll because it's supposed to be stated as sovereign citizenship.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Supposed to. But technically, we're prisoners of war.
And that's the reality. The American Indian Wars, 1800s. The result was natives were put in the concentration camps, and we know through historical evidence that Adolf Hitler studied these techniques, these war tactics, the American against the native indigenous peoples, 500 nations, right? Adolf Hitler used the same tactics. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. And so, follow up with that, because he did have a recipe for meth. That's the next threat.
What's the next threat? Meth?
Substance abuse.
Meth. Oh, yeah, that's the meth and crank and all that stuff that was going on.
The meth and the alcoholism and the opiates.
Yeah, the
because
opiates.
Because that's still a threat right now with COVID. Because most of the opiates or the pain pills, you know, that many of our relatives have found themselves to be addicted to.
Yeah.
Have ibuprofen as a buffer. And ibuprofen is something that cannot be taken with COVID by indigenous, you know, people. That is actually accelerating. Ibuprofen accelerates the effects of COVID.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, that was found in the research done behind the devastation COVID had on the Italians. Now, how does that relate? Well, let me tell you how that relates, because any person who is, you know, almost full blood of whatever race it is,
okay.
And I hate saying race, but those that are indigenous or whatever, of whatever, their blood types are type A, AB, or B. Your blood types that are O are those that are either Caucasian or mixed with Caucasian. And so the Italians, you know, and we're talking about what COVID did to the Italians in Italy. Okay? Those people are pretty, their culture is pretty much still very traditional and intact, the way they live over there, you know?
Right.
So their bloodlines happen to be A, AB, or B. Okay? And that's what they found in the autopsies of how COVID took over or you know, did so much harm over there is because they were instructed by the CDC to take ibuprofen. And so that was a very serious threat to our indigenous, those at least that were addicted to painkillers. You know what I mean? So that was some of the information that I would, you know, include, you know, because I helped my own tribe. Lakota Tribes of Nebraska sent Rosebud masks,
uh-huh.
Hand sanitizer, elderberries, triple antibiotic, Vicks vape, I mean, whatever, vitamin C, D, you know, we tried and we also communicated that information is do not take ibuprofen, it is accelerating. Now, type O's, they can take the ibuprofen. And you see type O is not being affected by COVID the way indigenous is, or and see I'm trying to get away from labeling people as black community. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to stay away from that. So our population of color, you see the disparity and that difference. So the other threat that I feel besides substance, because dependency has always been a threat since 1492. That's the residual of colonization is dependency, whether it be for that handout
okay.
or it be for substance. That's the other threat, is dependency. So, you know, so what else do I think is a threat to indigenous, you know, besides resources and, you know, it's the United States government. Because you know, there's several things we can point to, but, you know, these are all things that we can overcome.
Definitely. Definitely. We just have to work together as a community back, you know, the traditional ways. I do want to add that O positive blood type you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most popular blood type for mosquitoes.
Well, I'm going to have to see why that is. What is it? Are they fragrant?
There you go.
What's the attraction? I remember when my brother was younger and he was just learning how to read. And he's reading the back of an off can. And he's like, oh, it'll kill flies and June bugs and beetles. And then he said, in my squats. And
there you go.
We all started giggling and we're like, what is that? What's that word? He said, and my squats. He was trying to say mosquitoes. So
wow.
It just brought me back to that time. You know, my brother tried to learn how to read. Mm-hmm. So sorry. Thought I'd share that with everybody.
Oh, that's good, man. Well, listen, we totally ran out of time. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you know what? I always enjoy listening to you and trying to advocate for our brothers and sisters out there, our relatives. And, wow, I'm going to work on this, more research about this Puerto Rico thing here with the missing women. But this is something that I got to research it for future shows. Cause I know there's a lot of people from Puerto Rico are listening in. Todos los boricuas que están escuchando. Hay muchas mujeres que están matando. We have to stop this, you know. We have to get people more involved. But check this out. Before we go, I got one caller on the line who wants to say something, and then we'll have this caller wrap it up, okay?
Absolutely.
And they especially want to greet you for one. So, okay, caller, you have the final say tonight.
Hey! Yeah.